Nope, not yet. No mornings yet. I just want to say that I appreciate the words of Pastor. Last 4 years I've been here, there's been some ups and downs, and I'm just very humble for the opportunity to bring the word. And today's kind of surreal because I never would have thought both the only two pastors I've had in my life would be sitting in the auditorium with me preaching, you know. So it's definitely different. Normally when I would get up here, it was when they were gone. They didn't want to hear my voice. They needed a substitute, but you know, for both of them in my life, they've both changed my life, and you know, I'm very grateful and humble for that. So with that being said, good morning. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter message. I'm going to add a little bit of testimonial in it, and then I'm going to try to close the message at the end. This is kind of what God's put on my heart. So Pastor had messaged me Friday morning, "Hey, would you be willing to preach on Wednesday?" And my heart started racing. I got nervous. I started sweating. My initial answer was no. But then I started thinking about what I try to tell everybody is don't you see the signs? Don't we see the signs from God, you know? So as I started to pray on that, I'm like, okay, well, Pastor had asked me. I need to do what the pastor has asked me to do. And so I talked to him on the phone, said, absolutely, I'll do it. And then 5 minutes after that, God changed my message. So, yeah, it's been an interesting 5 days. My family would tell you I've been kind of a mess, but this message is from the heart. This is what God has given me to give you guys. All right, so I will give you the title to start this time. Normally I wait till the end, but the title is "The Comforter Wants to Give Us Peace." The Comforter wants to give us peace. If you guys will turn to John 14. You find that and stand. John 14, I'm going to read two verses, verse 26 and 27. John 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is, Lord, to be in your house today. Lord, it's just a wonderful feeling knowing that we have somewhere that we can go. I have a family here that I love, that loves me, and we can all say that we love the Lord. Lord, I just ask that you give me the words to say, and Lord, you try to make my message clear so that everybody here can understand what you're trying to give to your people. And Lord, we will give you all the praise, and it's in your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Who is the Comforter? The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. As we see in this verse, Jesus was getting ready to leave as he's the one talking. And he knew that his disciples, he knew the world was going to need somebody. They were going to need something to fill that hole that Jesus had been a part of their life for all these years. All right. The Holy Spirit enters your body at salvation. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know yet not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So I did some research. Webster's 1828 dictionary describes the comforter as a noun. It says, one who administers comfort or consolation, one who strengthens and supports the mind in distress or danger. Okay, so the comforter administers comfort. So what is comfort? The same dictionary says comfort is to cheer, to invigorate, to console, to relieve from trouble. So now we know who the comforter is, and we know what comfort is, and we also know that comfort is only one of the many things that the comforter brings to us. So, how does this correlate with peace? When you first get saved, or at least for me, when I first got saved, it was all rainbows and butterflies. I felt like I was on top of the world. I remember in the baptistry when Brother Hardesty said that he wasn't going to let me come back up until I agreed not to sell my house. And I just remember that feeling coming out of that water that this was a new time in my life. Something had dramatically changed. And I was happy. I was excited, you know. I was like, wow, this is fantastic. I could do this. I have Jesus in my heart now. I know where I'm going after I die. Man, this is fantastic, right? And then the trials and tribulations of life show up. Why is that? Because finally the devil gets involved in your life. When you're lost, the devil doesn't need to talk to you, doesn't need to influence you. You're already lost. You're living for his world. So I remember somebody telling me getting saved and being a child of God was not going to be easy. But this is where the Comforter can help. The Comforter can help you get through those trials. The Comforter can help you stay positive when you want everything in your body tells you to be negative. The Comforter can help you stay focused on Him. Not the problems, that you learn as you grow to give all your problems to Him. So how can the Comforter turn these things to peace? Well, we'll get more on that soon. Now we're going to get into a little bit of the testimonial part. January 21st, 2021, 8:14 p.m., a call comes in that will change my life forever. I was at dinner with my wife and my brother. I believe it was at Olive Garden, but I'm not 100% sure. It's my mother. I hadn't talked to my mom, I don't know, in a couple years. We had talked maybe a minute or two here and there. She says that Crystal's dead. Crystal was my sister. She was 33 years old. She had overdosed on heroin and had died. I said, you know, I'm at dinner. Give me a few minutes. I will call you right back. As soon as we were done, I called her. I said, Mom, I can be there tomorrow. This is kind of where her attitude changed a little bit. She said, no, you don't need to come. She said, this is your fault. Wow. She kind of blamed me a little bit for not helping my sister, not sending my sister money. Because my sister was constantly calling me and asking for money, and I would tell her no. I told my mom, I said, don't you remember in 2018, I bought a train ticket for my sister. She had called and said she was in trouble. She needed some help. I said, okay, Crystal, you can come live with us. I said, but there will be no drinking, no drugs, no alcohol, you know, no cigarette smoking. It was around my birthday in 2018. I paid for her a train ticket to get here. And the day comes and goes, and she doesn't come. And then I don't hear from her or my mom for like 7 months. And I finally hear from my mom. My mom and my sister had moved from Indiana to North Carolina. My mom said my sister was doing better. She got away from the demons that she had in Indiana. I was like, that's fantastic. That's awesome. But I told my mom, I said, I don't understand how you can blame me for this. But she said, no, don't come. She said, there's no reason to come. You can't see your sister. Don't come. So I didn't go. The last time I physically seen my sister was in the year 2010. After the 2018 phone call, every call after that, I declined her call. The messages were always the same. Something was going on. She needed some money for something. I didn't answer the phone. Nevertheless, after that phone call with my mom, I felt like I was okay. My employer, Papa John, said, do you need some time off? I said, no, I'm fine. I feel like I had gotten angry, but I'm like, no, I'm fine. A couple weeks go by, and it's Super Bowl Sunday, 2021. I woke up that day, and it finally hit me. I had become so angry. I had so much sadness in my heart, so much regret for not talking to my sister. I had resentment for my mom, for her blaming me. But after that, I started to realize that something was missing. April 14th, 2021, my oldest daughter Emma and I walked through those doors. We sat in the second row right next to Brother David. And that's the first time that in my life that I had heard God's word. When I came that day, Brother Larry Goldchild points this out every chance that he can get. It's kind of a needling at me. But I showed up in shorts and a Tony Stewart t-shirt, which he says had a Bud Light symbol on it. Something needed to change in my heart, and so that got us here. April 25th, 2021, we used to have a month-end fellowship at the end of the month to celebrate anniversaries, birthdays. I had a conversation with Brother Hardesty, because I had quite a few questions. I was living in this world. Why use the King James Bible? What's the difference between heaven and hell? What is heaven? He answered all those questions for me. And he said, I told him, I said, I'm missing something. He says, I know what you're missing. And he said, I know the person that can help you with that. Amen. He said, you're missing that peace that only God can give. So after my conversation with Brother Hardesty, I went into, actually it's ironic, it's in the fellowship hall, the same room that I use for the doctrines class. And I talked with Brother Don and Miss Angela Perez. And that evening, Emma and I got saved. Amen. I went home and I was excited, but I didn't tell my wife. I don't know why. I didn't tell her. I just said, hey, I want you to come to church. And eventually everybody started coming to church. But fast forward a couple years, God convicts my heart. I still haven't talked to my mom. I need to rectify that with my mother. And so I made that phone call. Anger and pride had been preventing me from doing this for 2 years, but it also had been preventing me from growing. So I make that conversation with her. Sarah and I make plans to go visit her the summer of 2023. We get there. She's in an assisted living home. It's super hot there. She's lonely. She was so skinny. Basically, the place was just over-medicating her, just preparing her to let her die. And during those 3 days, it was really nice. And then my mom asked me, she said, would I be able to come live with you? She says, I have nobody here, and I don't want to die alone. So Thanksgiving of 2023, Miss Sarah and I fly back and move her here. In July, the doctors had said they gave her 9 months or less to live. But when she moved here, she ended up living for another 23 months with us, not alone. And, you know, just what a blessing that was. Can I say that God had a plan for her and a plan for me? Because my mother got saved in this building. A little side note, Sarah and I were talking the other day. Between her and I's family, 11 people have been saved and baptized in this building, including both of my parents, who have not seen or talked to each other since I was 16 years old. But in different instances, they both came and got saved here. Only God can do that. Tuesday, May 20th, this year, we start the day by Sarah calling 911 because DaMama was not waking. They had told her a couple days before she had went to the hospital, she had had a pneumonia diagnosis. And of course, she was stubborn. She didn't want to go to the hospital. So now the antibiotics were not working. It caused her to have sepsis, and that led to her having bacterial meningitis in the brain. I went and seen her in the hospital. I talked to the doctor, Sarah talked to the doctor, and they said that she's not going to recover from this, that it was time for hospice. Friday, May 23rd, it's a Friday, she gets put in hospice late that night. And the next 13 days are long. I think of Brother Hardesty, and he said that his mom had hung on for 13 days. And I understand those 13 days were long. I would visit her nightly when I got off work. I would pick up Luke and Stormy, and we would go and visit her. And there was glimpses of her being there, but for the most part, she just repeated what we would say. We would say, "Hi, DaMama," and she would just have that blank stare, and she would say, "Hi, DaMama." So, you know, we knew that she wasn't there. We would talk to her. We prayed a few times. I know some of you came to visit her. Wednesday, June 4th, after church, as we did, we went and visited her. And I seen her, and I knew tonight was that night. I prayed one last time with her. I kissed her on the forehead. I told the kids, I said, "You need to say goodbye, because tomorrow won't come." Thursday, June 5th at 4 a.m., we get the call. Now we can talk about these two instances in my life and how I handled it. One, without God, and the other, with God. A lost person doesn't know how to handle loss. When my sister passed, I didn't know how to handle it. I stepped down at Papa John's three levels. I went from being a supervisor to just being a delivery driver because I was angry. I was depressed, and anger ruled my world. I took my pain, and what did I do with it? I deflected it to my family. There was an instance when I dropped my brother off at his house. We had all went out to dinner, and Nathan and Emma were bickering, and I just lost it. I started screaming. I got out of the vehicle, walked around. It scared Sarah. It scared my brother to the fact he came back to the car as he was walking up to his house. And then I just kind of just stopped. I fixed the problem, and we went on. But at that point, I realized I wasn't going to be able to live life like this anymore. I was going to lose my family. The lost look for worldly remedies to numb the pain. They seek drugs, those that are prescribed and those that are illegal. When those don't work, they look to alcohol. And even if that doesn't work, they look to relationships. They bounce from relationship to relationship. And all these are is just distractions. And what do they find after these distractions are gone? They find that same pain.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you about my mother's passing with God. The day my mom got sick, I didn't feel anxiety. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't upset. The Comforter was with me.
Hallelujah.
Every night I would visit, I would hold her hand, and I would just talk to her. It was peaceful. Even though she wasn't there, I felt close to her. The Comforter was with me. The morning I got the call, I rejoiced. She was no longer in pain. She was not suffering. And Lord, I know where she went.
Amen.
The Comforter was with me.
All right.
And as I stand here tonight, one day shy of 3 weeks, I smile. Why? Because the Comforter is with me.
Amen.
If we can look back at John 14, verse 27 again, I'd like to read this again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As I've said in this passage, Jesus is speaking. And as I read it to you, I know these words are for me, and these words are also for you. If you are saved, the Comforter dwells inside you. God wants you to give all your trials and tribulations, heartache and loss to Him. The Comforter is available to you all the time. But a lot of times we decide that we're strong enough and that we don't need Him. Can I tell you we're wrong? I gave you two examples of outcomes, one with and one without God. He wants to be your Comforter. Will you let Him? Whatever you were struggling with, would you tonight give it to Him? If you don't know Him, would you come and get that settled right here at an old-fashioned altar in just a few minutes? Or now would be fine. You can come now. 1 Peter 5:7 states, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." This verse tells us to hand over our worries and anxieties to God. Why? Because He will take care of them. The word casting involves trust and reliance on God's character and His promises. You know what you will find if you do this? P-E-A-C-E. Peace. The Comforter wants to give us peace. I do want to end with this. If we can go to Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost."